You're listening to Run, Thrive, Survive with Sierra Carter. If you're looking for more energy, more productivity, and just an overall happier life, you're right where you need to be.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Run, Thrive, Survive, where we dive inside a runner's mind during a therapy session here every Friday. Now, this Friday is going to be a little bit different. I actually have had, I've had a lot of like different questions come in through Instagram, and I want to address those and make this a Q&A, also mainly because I got really, really busy at the office and I didn't get a session recorded with a guest. Usually I have them recorded out at least 4 to 5 weeks, but it's been kind of crazy here. And of course, you know, I moved into a new office, taking on new clients. And you can hear my dog in the background. I apologize for that. But with all of that, I didn't have time to reach out to somebody to ask if they wanted to record. Now, I've got so many coming up because I put out there who wants to be on the podcast about a therapy session. So many of you were like so excited about it, so willing to share your story with the world that there's going to be so many coming up. I'm excited for it. So this week, if my dog stops chewing his squeak toy, this week we are going to be going through these 5 questions that I picked out. A lot of them were kind of around the same question. So I'm going to try to answer them the best I can. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to answer them as I've experienced them and as if I was giving somebody advice. I say this because a lot of people will be like, well, where's the scientific evidence for that? And I personally, you can pull up scientific evidence for anything, like absolutely anything. And yes, scientific evidence is great, but it can also be biased. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we come back into this, yes, I'm an ABA, applied behavior analysis, and what we do goes off of scientific evidence. But what we do also goes off of things that we've observed in the contingencies with them. And we enhance that, repeat it, and see if it works. I'm going to tell you everything that I'm repeating in these questions is something that I figured out has worked for me, because we all have those special equations for ourselves. So, the first question that I think I get way too often, and I mean, it's absolutely 100%, I believe it, is how can I even start to run? Like, how often should I run, and how do I start running? And personally, I shared this on Instagram not too long ago. I started running with 1 mile at 3.5 miles per hour on a treadmill once a week on Saturdays. The reasoning behind this is because on Saturdays, I never had anything going on. 3.5 miles per hour, I literally could withstand, and I was extremely proud of myself. I think that's like a 20-minute mile. And it took me forever to want to get into this. I hated running, you guys. I was 14, 15 when that started, and I hated running. Sorry, we're back. I got that squeak toy for my dog. Now he's looking at me like, wow, you're a loser, mom. Anyways, but that's what it took me. It just took me getting on the treadmill. As far as like, how can I start, like what to motivate yourself? Go to your why. Like, why are you doing this? I have a really fun quiz that you can take. Like, you know, what's your running personality? Some people run because it's an escape. Some people run because it gives them life. Some people run because it's social. If it's social for you, go join a group. If it's your escape, don't invite anybody on your runs. That's going to be kind of aversive and something you don't want to do. That's where I start with that. And I know that doesn't give you like a step plan, but I can tell you a plan. Pick a day that you never really have anything going on. Pick a time that's reliable that you never have anything going on, and just go walk. Go walk and find a course, and find a route. And then after that, just start trying to run walk it at that same time on that same day. It can be one day a week. It can be 1 mile. It doesn't have to be a lot when you start. That is my biggest advice on that one. Now, the second one, I love this one. Do I need to stretch before I run and after I run? And the scientific answer is yeah. Yes, absolutely. Probably you should. Like, it really does help performance. But my realistic answer, oh my gosh, my God, my dog. Hold on. Sorry, guys. 1 second. I don't know if you've noticed, but my dog has found every single loud toy that he could possibly find during this podcast recording. And he has been sitting next to me quietly all day as I finished up work with other clients. So, you know, that is what it is. But the realistic answer to stretching before and after a run is, do you have time and what can you do? So I think I've seen a lot of coaches that will be like, here's your like 10 minute warm up that you need to implement before a race. And like, what happens if you're running late to a race and you don't get there to warm up as much as you'd like? You might feel like your whole run is wasted. My realistic advice to you is pick three stretches that you can do really quickly while you're standing in the corrals to run a race. Now, you don't only have to do these at the race. I say this because you want to be able to generalize where you do these stretches. So for me, it's usually like stretching out my hips. I grab my foot and I stretch out my quads. And I do a couple of torso rotations just to get my upper body moving. I can literally do that as I'm walking out my door to the path or to my car when I'm going on a run. When you're in the corral, you can do that quickly. Now, the idea of this is like, hopefully maybe you'd build off of it. Maybe you'd add some more stretches. Maybe you'd add some more to it later on. But at the same time, I'm all for the mindset of something is better than nothing. And if that just means getting your hips moving, because my hips are always tight, then so be it. It can be one, but I would strive for at least three exercises. Now, after running, I personally think that is your own recovery option. Some people hate stretching. It is, they are so sore. And I can't tell you how many marathons and half marathons I have run where if you ask me to stretch, I might burst into tears. So maybe that's not the best thing. Maybe during training, it's great to stretch. Maybe the same three exercises, choose that. But I would honestly, after a run, just focus on some kind of recovery technique, whether that is drinking protein and making sure you get the adequate protein you need after a workout to rebuild your muscles within a certain time frame. I think that time frame is still at 30 minutes. It could have changed, you know, science always changes. Could have changed within 30 minutes. Or for some of you that love cryotherapy, maybe the sauna. I don't know what it is, but I personally would focus on anything that's going to help you recover and just make it something you enjoy and something you can do on a consistent basis. If stretching is that, that's awesome. Keep up with it. If not, find something and stick to it. So the next one that I also get is how do I feel for during a run? Oh, from experience, you guys. So I follow, this is a really hard one for me to talk on, but I'm gonna tell you my answer and I'm gonna tell you the answer that maybe you should implement for yourself. Personally, I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't fuel during runs. I don't. I am with, and I know so many other runners who do not, to be honest with you. And that is because it makes them sick. They have been coached not to fuel during a run because a lot of the older runners who will coach younger athletes, older runners, like guys, I can't be the one to point this out, but maybe I'm the first one pointing this out. They didn't have gels back in like the 1970s and back then, and they didn't have these fancy Nike shoes and they didn't have these fancy running belts and these fancy drinks. Like they had was Gatorade even around? Like they had Gatorade, they had water. And I remember my dad said he'd pour salt into his water when he played football just to kind of keep the hydration up. And then on top of it, like it just wasn't a thing. So a lot of like older coaches will actually coach athletes, and I was coached like this, not to rely on fuel during a run. Now this, I'm speaking up to a marathon. Anything after a marathon, I'm assuming you should probably fuel. Like ultras, I am not going to speak on that. But I don't fuel during a run. Now, do I think you should fuel during a run? Yeah, absolutely. If you have found that it helps you and it's not something that like inhibits you and it's not something that makes you sick or turns your stomach upside down during a run, I absolutely think you should. But I will never push fueling on somebody during a race. I personally think my diet the week, not the day, not the 2 days, the entire week leading up to that race is way more important than what I do during the race ever will be. And I say this because I qualified for a Boston, not fueling during a race. I had water and I had Gatorade at the aid stations, and that was it. But leading up to it, I had pancake breakfasts every single morning, starting on Tuesday, and I would eat potatoes at night, you know, like air fried potatoes, mashed potatoes, any type of way a potato could come, I would eat it every single day leading up to that race. I was not hungry during that race. I had some caffeine prior to the race. I always drink coffee with a little bit of milk. And that is what got me through that race. And I got a 3-hour and 25-minute marathon. So I personally have tried after that fueling during a race. My stomach would turn upside down. I'd get sick. I'd get nauseous. It would almost like slam my body into a wall, and I just gave up on it. So that's my take. And the final one is, should I hydrate on my runs? And this kind of goes along with what kind of hydration device do you use? You guys have seen in my videos, my hydration device, I actually love using it, but I don't use it during races, is the Nathan Hydration Sports Vest. Now, it's a 12 liter? I think I have the 12 liter vest. Unfortunately, the specific one that I wear in those videos, they do not make anymore. But they do have other ones, and as long as they're 12 liters, I honestly think you're going to be like A-okay, perfectly fine. But here is the problem with this hydration vest that I have run into on a consistent basis. It does bounce, and it does kind of leave like rashes on my skin. And when you're running with it, it actually throws off your gait. I had a really awesome podcast with somebody a really long time ago, and they said if you run with hydration, it's going to actually inhibit the way your body like performs during a race. And I can see that every time I run with this vest, I hunch over, I change how things happen, and different places on me hurt. So I would honestly recommend, unless it's like a long run and you're going to be out there for long periods of time, I would recommend driving the course and dropping water along the place that you want to run, or maybe finding or just like kind of messing around with your runs. Like, you know, 6 miles, I don't need water. Anything after 8, I would need water. And sometimes I do drop the water bottles off in very specific spots. Now, if you live in a city and that's kind of dangerous to do, I wouldn't recommend that. But I live in Salt Lake City and I can go throw one in the bush that nobody's going to go and, look at or find and put something weird in the drink. But over 20 miles on a training run, I will absolutely have my pack with me. I just wouldn't recommend it during a race, although some people absolutely love it. One more thing with the pack that I was trying to remember and I completely blanked on. I have the one where the water pack is in the back. The bladder is in the back. I don't like the ones with the bottles in the front because they bounce and they kind of get wet and it just doesn't work for me. So that's just my take on that. But, you know, you go out, you can buy your own, and you can decide from there. So you guys, I know I said 5. I'm going to actually keep this kind of short today because we are kind of running longer than I wanted the podcast to run for you guys. I like to keep these short. But those are the 3 like most common questions. In a few weeks, I'm going to have another podcast just like this to answer more. If you guys have questions, please send them to my inbox at Run Thrive Survive on Instagram. If you're on TikTok, I'm not great at TikTok. I love posting on TikTok, but I don't answer those messages. So please send those questions to me on Instagram. That's where I'm most interactive. Other than that, you guys, next week we'll be back here to have a therapy session with one of our runners. But until then, you guys, get out there and run your life before life runs you. Bye, guys.